shape and container to that as simple as possible, so that it is the unfabricated self, not an achieving and goal-oriented self whom we encounter. And precepts are a shape for the world of the fabricated self. And fabricated doesn't mean exactly made up. It's not false, but it's constructed. Fabricated means built. There's no one fabricated life or way of living that's absolute, that has to be that way. You have to have one, and yet everyone is different. Thinking it's like a house. Every house is different. In fact, when we see two houses exactly alike, they look strange. Something's wrong with that, because every house is different. Different circumstances, different wishes and wills, and different histories. And yet, every house is made of the same elements around the world. A roof, having to do with sheltering. Walls, again, a kind of sheltering and a filtering of protection. And then openings in those walls so that some creatures can be let in and others can be kept out. And then some kind of opening so that air and light can come in. You don't really need anything else to make a house. Floors are an add-on. We have many other elements we add on. So every house around the world has them, and yet every house is different. That's why a cave is a pretty good house. It meets all those same minimum requirements, depending on what other creatures are in there. So the same issues. And the precepts are like that. The 16 precepts of Zen Buddhism are obviously not, they're fabricated. They're not absolute. You can have 15 or 12 or 245. And they vary. And yet there's remarkable similarities, because they serve a very similar function of saying, well, in this complicated world, you're going to fabricate a life, and it's going to fabricate you. We don't seem to always have a lot of choice in this fabricating, but we're doing it. We're dealing with life all the time, always fabricating. So there's something about having values to orient by in this welter of information and input and complexity, and then how to express and implement those values in, and how to do that where you can't always, because there's so much else going on. So some form of precepts or ethics are universal. And they're remarkably similar, too. And so, although Zazen is completely wordless and silent, and the precepts seem, they're not a set of rules. This is a saying, you need a container for your values and living by your values. Here is a container that is both shapely and wide open for you to express in your own way. I always say that the precept, for instance, of not killing means take a high standard in regard to this issue. There isn't any one way to express it. Everyone's way will be somewhat different. But they can the precepts are, it's Choko who says they're like buoys. Gong, 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 gong. You know, there's a precept about not killing. Remember that. Pay attention to that. Let that inform you so that you think about your relationship to killing, harming, taking, and adopt a high standard. So we have these precepts, which are for everyone. They're not exclusive. And so the precept renewal ceremony is for anyone who wants to partake. So we begin by leaving the hall and then re-entering, purifying. If you have a rakusu, you put your rakusu over the incense. If you don't, you put your hands over the incense, purifying ourselves to our intent and entering the hall. And then the first part of the ceremony is standing, unless you're someone whose legs don't want to do that, in which case the first part is sitting down in a chair. But generally speaking, if you can, we stand for the first part. And we offer incense along with, you know, all of this on the altar. This is the spring equinox. It's a classic time for doing this ceremony. And weather indications of the contrary, this is spring. So we offer flowers, we offer light, we offer incense to the Buddha, to the principle of awakening. And then we proceed to offer repentance, is to say, be vowing to be awake to the errors we commit or the things we do that are harmful. There's no one to repent to. There's no absolution. Repentance consists in waking and avowing, paying attention, shining a light on our actions. And then we enter the receiving of the precepts. We sit and I read a classic statement on the precepts. And then we stand and in call and response chanting, receive the precepts. So you don't need a handout. You don't need a chant card. You've never done it before. It doesn't matter. You just do what happens. It's that kind of container. So the precept renewal ceremony is like the precepts themselves, a container we can just pour ourselves into and participate and find our own way to engage. So we'll begin by leaving the hall by that.